Welcome to Global Talk, an international affairs podcast from The National. I'm Laura McKenzie. On the line today, we have Tamer Khan, the newspaper's New York correspondent, who recently returned from Pakistan, where he was visiting Karachi. He's here to talk to us about the current security situation in the country. Since June 2014, Pakistan has been carrying out an offensive against the Taliban and other militants in the tribal border areas with Afghanistan. Can you tell us how that's proceeding?
And this is an operation that, as you said, has been going on since June. 200,000 troops, Pakistani troops, are involved in these operations that are now centered on North Waziristan in the tribal areas. And it seems like in terms of short-term goals, the operation has been successful in targeting Pakistani Taliban groups that have been fighting the Pakistani military and also launching attacks in Pakistan cities. So in terms of short-term goals, it seems to be proceeding well. Of course, on the flip side, you know, it's caused thousands of internal refugees from the tribal areas into Pakistani towns and cities, civilian casualties. And so far, there's no sign that the military or the Pakistani government has a plan for what to do in these areas that have been cleared of militants in terms of integrating them economically and politically into Pakistan. But also, the operation has fueled and also is a result of strengthening ties and cooperation after a period, you know, years of kind of low-level, behind-the-scenes animosity between the U.S. and Pakistan and Pakistan and Afghanistan. And then there's been many indices of that closer cooperation in recent kind of weeks and months as this operation has proceeded. So you have U.S. officials kind of for the first time profusely lauding Pakistan's actions against the Haqqani network in North Waziristan, which is an Afghan Taliban group that Pakistan has pretty much, you know, the U.S. has been asking Pakistan to target for a long time, but Pakistan has refused either because it uses them as or supports them as a proxy group in Afghanistan or because it didn't want to open up a new front against a powerful militant group. So for the first time, U.S. officials are saying that Pakistan has, you know, disrupted their kind of space within which they operate. And then also you have recently Afghan authorities arrested a few, I think four or five Pakistani Taliban suspects on their side of the border who were allegedly involved in the Peshawar school attack. And also Pakistan's army chief and spy chief have visited Afghanistan a number of times in recent weeks, and there's also been kind of Afghan officials coming to Islamabad as well.
And on the whole, do you think that people in Pakistan support the offensive, or is support dependent on where in the country people live or any other factors?
I mean, I haven't seen, you know, polling on this question that would give us, you know, maybe more data to work with. But I can say, just having returned from a couple of weeks in Pakistan, that there does seem to be a qualitative shift in public opinion kind of behind the military doing whatever it has to do, going all out against militant groups. And that obviously is a result of the army public school attack by the Pakistani Taliban that killed 150 people, mostly children. So I think, you know, it's too soon to tell whether that momentum will carry on, especially as it's likely that the group will carry out more or try to carry out more kind of spectacular bloody attacks. But I think for now, there has been a major shift, or at least public opinion is, I think, strongly behind the offensive.
And do you think it's a battle that Pakistan can ever actually win? And what would a victory actually look like?
Well, I mean, that's a much longer term proposition. And I think that it's far from certain that the strategic calculus that the Pakistani military and state has kind of that has underpinned their strategy over the past decades, you know, in terms of considering India as the major threat and keeping using proxy militant groups as proxies kind of against its bigger neighbor, India, and also kind of to protect its perceived interests in Afghanistan. There haven't been signs that that has that calculus has changed decisively. So while they might be going after the TTP in the Northwest and in cities, you know, in Punjab, where there's kind of a whole network of various militant groups that share ideology with the TTP but aren't attacking the Pakistani state, they're focused on India, they have not been kind of addressed at all, or there haven't been any efforts to, you know, arrest their leaders or cut off their funding or anything like that. And that is the much more, that's the a much deeper challenge, a much more difficult challenge. And it's something that, you know, it's still unclear that the government is willing to tackle or capable of. I mean, you know, it's unclear whether they're just afraid of kind of opening, you know, hitting a hornet's nest in the, you know, biggest province in the country at the same time that they're battling the TTP.
And schools are now reopening after the Taliban attack in Peshawar that you mentioned earlier, and that killed 150 people, mostly children. But The National reported last week that the majority of schools were not sufficiently prepared in terms of security. Can the security forces keep people safe?
I mean, having just returned, as I said, from Pakistan, from Karachi, I saw kind of a significant amount of time in the city over the years. And I've seen the kind of security presence that I saw was, you know, I hadn't seen before in terms of both the police and paramilitary forces. I mean, there is an ongoing operation by the paramilitary rangers and the police against a variety of criminal gangs and militant groups in Karachi. So that is also kind of happening at the same time. And there was, you know, many schools hadn't opened yet when I left because they weren't deemed to have sufficient security. So I think the government is taking the security of schools question seriously. But Pakistan, of course, is a huge country and there are many, many, many soft targets aside from schools. I don't think that the military or the law enforcement agencies will be able to keep we'll be able to prevent another attack like that in the future. I mean, I think it's almost inevitable. It's unfortunate to say. And especially as, you know, the logic behind the attack on the school is kind of to make it a spectacular attack because Pakistanis are perhaps inured to terrorist attacks just because of the, you know, how many that they've faced over the years. And so, you know, the TTP may be trying to carry out more and more spectacular attacks to try to change public opinion. And so, yeah, it's the kind of future is scary in that sense. I don't think they will be able to protect Pakistani cities from attacks such as that.
And there's been a lot of talk in the media that the attack was a sign that the Pakistani Taliban is under pressure. To what extent do you think that's true?
I think that is definitely true. I think the Pakistani Taliban, from reports that I've read and people I've talked to, has been successfully splintered. Kind of, they're competing factions within the group, and the Pakistani intelligence agencies and military have kind of exploited that. And so there's infighting as well as this operation that's taking away the space within which they operate in the tribal areas. But I think it's too soon to tell really that whether this is decisive or temporary. But it does seem like for the time being, the group is facing a lot of pressure from Pakistani military.
And finally, towards the end of last year, we saw fresh tensions emerge between the Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif and the country's powerful military. Have their differences been resolved, and how strong is Mr. Sharif's position now?
Well, I think their differences have been resolved, but not because their, you know, agreements as such were reached. I think that they were all the key irritants, so to speak, in the relationship kind of resolved in the military's favor for various reasons. So the government's prosecution of the former military ruler Pervez Musharraf was an issue that has kind of, you know, the government has more or less stopped pursuing that in the face of army military protest. The kind of strengthening of ties or seeking to strengthen ties with India by the Nawaz Sharif government also has appeared to kind of been stopped in its tracks to a large extent, I think, because of the, you know, rhetoric and actions of the more hardline Modi government in India. And then also the Nawaz Sharif government was pursuing peace talks with the Pakistani Taliban, which the military opposed. But those efforts have kind of totally been ended after the attack on the Karachi airport in June. And also, you know, I mean, the Peshawar attack, especially, I think, you know, there's no scope for that right now. And that all leaves the military and Raheel Sharif, the chief of army staff, in a very, very strong position. both in terms of public perception and in terms of control of security policy and in key foreign relations with the U.S. and Afghanistan. I mean, U.S.-Pakistan relationship has kind of been reset after years of deteriorating relations and reset over the kind of core security and counterterrorism concerns that the U.S. has. I mean, Raheel Sharif spent and had an extended trip in Washington that has been described by all sides as very, very positive. U.S. officials have been speaking very positively about the Pakistani military and its actions in the operation. So I think that the army has kind of emerged as, again, with kind of decisive power in key areas, and the civilian government, has looked ineffective in a lot of ways in terms of the security questions.
To read Tamer's stories, visit thenational.ae/world and follow us on Twitter @thenationalrome.